is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy.
I've been practicing slowing that down.
How's it going?
Every week, I'm like, slow.
Welcome to the
journey. Yeah. Maybe I'll go through and edit it and slow it down.
That's even better. I'd like to hear that.
Again, welcome to the Wednesday Pull List. This is a podcast where we review comic book trades. We also talk about popular topics trending in the nerd world. Right now, we're not covering any struck movie properties from any of the big companies that aren't paying their creatives. But a few weeks ago, I said that we were going to bring it back. So I'm a liar. There, I said it. Okay, deal with it. But we are going to do some playful banter, figure out what's going on with Simon, what's going on in your world, man.
Playboy banter. Because I'm a playboy. Yeah, man, I got a lot going on right now. Weirdly, it's always, for me, it always comes in cycles. So I joke that it's kind of like manna from heaven. Anytime I'm like, oh, I got this pre-order and I got all this shit coming in and what am I going to do? Like, I can afford it, but I'm going to be broke for a long time. And it's like, oh, well, hey, can you design this logo for us? Hey, I've got this book. Do you want to illustrate it? Hey. So
yeah, that's funny because I just pitched like, hey man, you and I should start writing comic books together. Yeah. Like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Can you wait 6 months?
Go ahead. So yeah, that's kind of the stuff I've got going on.
We usually talk a little bit of toy talk, but Simon and I are working out a live situation. We went live on his Instagram this past week, had a little bit of fun doing that. We might do YouTube next week. We're still trying to figure it out. Because we do have a warm up with to get the creative juices flowing before we record the show. I get it. A lot of you guys come here for the trade review and the trending topics. Maybe you don't care about toys, but we do. And I know we have some listeners that do. So we're trying to figure out where that belongs. Maybe it'll be a YouTube Instagram combo. If we have all the devices and cameras going at the same time, we don't know where to look.
Yeah, Instagram is okay. It's funny. It was a lot more people from your, like, the Wednesday Pull List audience than mine. But Saturday's kind of a weird day for it, so I don't know. But yeah, we'll figure it out. It was fun just to talk about toys. We definitely have to wrangle in the time.
A little structure to it, and I think it'll go better. But also, I was late because I was BSing.
Yeah, man. We got shit to do. We all got shit to do.
Obviously, we don't have a lot of training topics. We just wanted to touch base with you guys. I did want to stop by and let you know what's going on this month with the podcast as far as episodes go. This week's episode is going to be a rewind. We're going to go all the way back to Sean Gordon Murphy's Batman White Knight. If I remember correctly, that's what the first book in the series is called. And then the second one with Curse. Azrael is Curse. Mm-hmm. And then we have Beyond. Recently, Simon and I read the final, I don't think it's the final one because there's a Joker book out right now related to that, but we read the Beyond the White Knight series. So instead of just jumping into that, we're going to do a rewind. This week, we're going to replay the first one, next week the second one, and the last 2 weeks of the month, we'll break that long-ass book up into two episodes. If you did listen to that one, feel free to stick around. I might run through it again. Freshen it up as far as the edit goes. Make sure it's no BS. I think I will do that. So it'll feel like a new episode.
No BS.
And if not, just go on. And if you haven't listened to it, just enjoy the journey. We're going to go through this entire series. I'm going to re-listen to it because I can't remember half the things we say. Anyways, it'll be fun. Yeah. A lot of times we don't read more than the first volume of a book. This is one of those rare opportunities that we finished a series. Check it out. If you want to support the show, go to our Patreon, sign up. There's a ton of free stuff on there. And I guess it's not free if you're paying. There's extra stuff on there. And be sure to sign up for our newsletter. All of that information will be in the show notes. We're going to take a second to listen to some ads, or we're going to take a second to just go to the bathroom. Either way, we'll be right back with the trade review.
What we're here to talk about today, Simon suggested that we read Batman White Knight, which is one of my favorite Batman books. And I was excited to reread it because I did not finish Curse of the White Knight. Is that what it's called? The second one? I haven't finished that one yet. I think I have maybe two issues or three. There's also a Mr. Freeze standalone book that came out.
Really?
That I did not read, that I would be interested in reading.
Weirdly enough, like I said, I started reading Curse of the White Knight, and it disappeared from DC.
Universe. Get it together. Oh, that's something we did talk about. DC made the announcement that they're going to switch their, we've been wondering what they're going to do with their platform now that everything's going to HBO Max, and apparently they're going to switch it to this like ultimate premium comic book thing, which we had, had hoped for anyways, with a lower price.
I do have a question, and this is just something to ponder over. I don't know if you've heard about it. Do you know what they're like? Okay, they're bringing movies over. They're bringing other stuff over. Are they bringing the cartoons over? So, or like the New Adventures of Batman, stuff like that?
I haven't heard yet, but I would assume so. Because, like, think about the backlog of cartoons they have now. I'm an avid Ben 10 fan. I've mentioned that before. They have every one of those episodes on there. You know, and so I think it would be only. There it is.
That's the shit I get when I try to.
They send Alfred to do the dirty work, man. Nobody can be mad at Alfred.
Oh, dear.
I don't know. I would imagine they did. I hope they did. It would be a waste for them not to.
I hope so, too. But, I mean, if they keep it on that app, I'd be fine, too. I just want
to know what's going to go away. I would be on that. And so, yeah, we're reading Batman. We read Batman White Knight. In fact, I finished reading it today. And I was just as impressed with it as I read the first time. And I will say, before we go into our reviews, that I also make it well known that I don't like that movie, The Joker. I'm not a fan of it. I don't think it's as, I think it's overrated. But man, wouldn't this make a good movie called The Joker? Like, 100%, really, this is about The Joker. And like, he's conflicted, and we'll talk about all that in a second. But man, I was thinking the whole time, I was like, why didn't they just do this? And, you know, paint Batman as the bad guy. Like, they didn't even have to use, like, a well-named, because he's such a background character. They didn't have to even use a notable actor to play Batman. He could just be in the shadows. And, you know, it would be almost better if, you know, he was just a background character.
Yeah. Like, how they talk, sidebar, how they're talking about doing Spawn. They talk about doing Spawn with Jamie Foxx, but he's not even really, like, you're never going to see him like in the whole movie. Like, so
talk about him.
That would be way cooler.
That movie's never coming out.
Yeah, it is, man.
Todd McFarlane.
Todd McFarlane.
That guy's so crazy. I don't know why people love him so much, man.
So, like, Spider-Man, you make the rope webs, right? Everybody loves it. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to get to a little synopsis on Batman White Knight. It's a comic series created by Sean Murphy. It was the first installment of what is called the Murphyverse, which I didn't know that was a thing. That's weird. But it makes sense, I guess. Yeah. Frank Miller, all those guys have
it. Is RoboCop going to be in this? Murphy.
This series is 8 issues. It came out back in 2017. It basically was about the Joker regaining his sanity, and then he wanted to go out and reverse the public perception of him caused by, you know, or his public perception and Batman's. So, you know, people think he's crazy, but he's actually saying, hey, maybe I'm not crazy. Maybe I'm just a result of Batman being crazy and then, you know, Gotham being a terrible place. So, what do you think, Ben? First off, first thoughts?
No, I thought it was, I loved that flip-flop, honestly. I loved how crazy they made Batman look. And you don't see him as anything other than Batman,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, it's not like they went out of their way to make him seem menacing or crazy or anything. It was actually a lot of stuff that he really does. Like, he really doesn't give a shit about environments. He really blows stuff up. And it gets you thinking, like, maybe the Joker's full of shit. Maybe it is the long con that they keep talking about. But, like, maybe Batman's crazy too, man.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting because it made him seem very bestial. Like, you see him as Bruce, I think, twice. Yeah. I'm thinking only twice in the series. And I thought that was interesting because, like, he really was delving into his baser instincts as a person to be this, like, intimidating bat
thing.
Yeah,
even the way he was drawn. He was, like, his arms looked longer. His shoulders were broader. He looked more, you know.
Yeah, and his costume was really, like, his cowl was kind of different, and he had, like, a collar.
It's kind of my favorite Batman costume, hands down.
It is very cool. And it looks very homemade, which I liked about it. I'm sorry I keep belching. Anyway, just cut those. Go back and cut every belch out. But anyway, yeah, I thought it was super awesome, honestly.
I will say this with my last breath. Probably not. That's a bit dramatic. But the art is just Sean Gordon. I think it's Sean Gordon Murphy. His art style is maybe my favorite comic book art style of all time. I mean, just because I love how dramatic and simple it is. The way he draws characters, it carries the emotions. Like, this book has a lot of dialogue, and I know this is a thing that we talk about a lot. It's a picture book with words, but this book, like, I thought I was going to skim through it in 30 minutes, but I was like, God, I'm going to have to skip a couple panels, man.
This is a word book with, like, pictures, is what you're saying.
It's got a lot of dialogue. I'm going to have to skim through some of it. But without that, even if you took the words out, you can pretty much follow a lot of the story, man.
Yeah. The illustration really is great. And I liked how he used a lot of neutral colors for everything. Everything is kind of dusty and dark. Yeah.
It was little surprises that I really appreciated in it. So if you don't know by now, this is going to be spoilers. We're going to talk about a few plot points that I liked, a few things that popped up a lot of things that I liked about the book. So the whole Harley Quinn thing I thought was great. I'm someone that's tired of seeing so much Harley Quinn because I don't think she's that great of a character. But in this, I thought it actually made me really like the character. She's one of my favorite characters in the book. And it starts out, he's cured, which that scene's brutal. And it leads to, especially in today's climate, it plays weirdly close to, like, not that people are the Joker, but, like, police brutality. Batman's tired of the Joker shit or whatever, and he just probably should have stopped him. And the police officers aren't doing anything. They're just kind of watching him beat the crap out of this guy. Even though he's the Joker, he's still alive, human. So Batman's beating the crap out of him. You know, he's like, hey, you want these drugs? And at some point, even some of the other cops are like, hey, man, shouldn't we stop this?
Yeah, he just force feeds him.
He basically almost kills him, which in turn cures him. And I really liked the fact, before I talk about Harley Quinn, I really liked the fact that they play into how smart he is. Because throughout the years, all the crazy tricks and stuff that he plays on Batman, he has to be like a genius. And then
he's just insane.
And so he even plays it up. He's like, hey, man, I owe it to the Joker, persona, whatever. I have this genius level intellect that was held back by insanity. And so now he can beat his case. Now he's free and all these other things, which I thought was cool. It really played up the fact that, it makes sense that he tricks Batman. Batman's supposed to be the world's greatest detective. He's just a clown, a crazy clown.
Maybe he just calls himself that. Yeah, I'm the world's greatest detective. It's like,
except I've never seen him with a magnifying glass. So.
And the two hats.
So you're introduced to Harley, which is cool because he goes to her and he's like, hey, which makes sense. He would want amends with this character. He's, hey, I'm sorry for the way I treated you. Let's get married. And she's tripping. And you think, okay, this is just Harley being crazy. But they do a quick switch, and it's actually not her. The real Harleen Quinzel quit being Harley. And the Joker's so crazy that he never even noticed. I thought that was great, man.
Yeah. And that's interesting about Harley herself, because she is a doctor.
And she's smart.
You know, like.
Yeah, right. I thought it was so cool. And it's like, it shows that there really is a disconnect between him being healed in this story. You're wondering if it's just some long, you know, the whole time I'm like, this is just going to be the Joker playing a big trick at the end. It has to be. It doesn't make sense. And it leads you to wonder, like, he really didn't know that they got switched. He really didn't give a shit. They really played up his love for Batman, which I thought was kind of weird at first. Because he was just, like, over the top, like, how much I need you. It's kind of like the Lego Batman Joker, how he felt about Batman. Really played it up. Like, when he was in prison and Batman was standing. But Batman was there. Why was Batman there? Listening to him monologue. You know what I mean? So it makes you wonder that Batman really is crazy, man. Joker wasn't completely wrong.
Sure, yeah. No, that's the thing. It's like Batman is crazy on the side of good.
Kind of. Yeah.
For the most part. Yeah.
It was cool. So, and then he's trying to be this white knight, is what he claimed to be. Batman's the Dark Knight. He wants to be the white knight. He wants to He goes to the projects. He's smart. He goes in these, he goes to the bad part of town to try to raise up these people that are ignored, or they call them, you know, the high risk zones, the bat drop zones, or whatever he calls them. And so he's like, hey man, these people don't like Batman either, because all he does is come down here and beat them up. And you know, the rich people are getting paid off of it. So I thought that was cool. Duke Thomas is a cool character. And so another thing that I really liked about this book is how they added all these characters. They switched the story, all the backgrounds from all the characters. Duke Thomas was a character in current Batman comic books who becomes a character called the Signal, a member of the Bat family. He's young, though. Yeah, he's not very young, but he's young. When he's first introduced, he's really young. He's not an old, he's not an older man who's ex-military. He's not even old enough to go to the military yet. So that was cool that he was in there. He had a pretty cool role. They switched up Jason Todd and Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson said that Jason Todd was the first Robin and that Batman was angry at Dick all the time because he started reminding him of Jason. So that's what led them to fight all the time. And he treated Jason like a son. So that's cool. They switched up a lot of the story, but it worked because it's its own universe.
I like Duke because he honestly reminded me of like a G.I. Joe or something. I mean, he kind of reminded me of the first Captain America, the black Captain America.
Josiah X or... I know his name is... Well, his son's name is Josiah X. Jason Bradley, I think? Damn. I'm about to lose my comic card. Like that.
That's a loser comic card. But I liked how he was drawn. I like how all the characters were that were supposed to be physically intimidating looked. They were almost like Bruce Timm drawings. You know, they were like huge on top, small legs. But, I mean, like you said, the art style was just amazing. It's very sketchy. The colors did so much work, like we had talked about with Oblivion Song. Like the colors did the
work. In an opposite way, like you said, Oblivion Song is really bright and the colors pop. But like you mentioned earlier, this has a lot of neutral colors and it really plays to like Gotham and how dark it is.
Right. And it just really fills out the character so it doesn't look just like pencil scratches. I thought it was interesting. He definitely has his own style. I appreciate that he didn't try to emulate anybody. You know, if you look at Joker, he's got like the long nose, and you look at Jack Napier, and you know, he's kind of got the long nose, but so does Nightwing. You know, he's kind of got the sharp nose and sharp jaw.
Very sharp features on a lot of these characters. Dramatic and simple. It's the only way that I can explain that style, and it is my absolute favorite. He's done a lot of books, and we'll probably review a few of them. He did this book called Chrononauts for Image. So good.
Yeah, I've got the first issue.
He's done a lot of good books. We'll probably do the second one to this, and we'll probably do Chrononauts. But one thing that I did like was I thought, you know, they play it up like Joker is good. Or Jack Napier is good now, but he's not all the way good. Because, like, his first thing to do is he gets all the bad guys together. And it seems like he's still good because he's like, hey, we could work together. We could do what's right for Gotham. But they're like, no, there's no way we're going to do that. And he's like, oh, okay. I didn't expect it to happen. I just wanted to have a drink. Basically, among colleagues, letting you know, like, you hated me, I hated you, letting you know what direction I'm going in, which seemed cool. But then you find out that he stole the Mad Hatter's, which was insane, super genius. He stole the Mad Hatter's hat.
It's a great comic book. Great comic book story.
Took the Mad Hatter's hat, which controls people if he puts a card on you or you're in possession of one of his cards. And it just had Clayface covered in cards. And then he turned Clayface into dust and then fed the dust to all the villains and then he could control all the villains. Very comic book, but like one of those things you're like, oh wow, that weirdly makes sense in like comic book term.
Right. And I loved, but you don't ever see this and you know, you don't see this explained anywhere other than this comic that I've really seen. I could be wrong. I don't know. But I love that Clayface still has a brain. Oh, I was just about to say that. You know? Yeah, he's like this disembodied brain with eyes. Very robot. I've
never seen that before. You know? Never. This is the first time I've ever seen that. I thought it was awesome.
So you find out later in the book that they just have this brain in their possession. They have like a card stuck in its, you know, stuck in it too, so that this other character can control them. And then he controls all the villains, as you said. You know, they drink the
Yes, which we didn't even talk about the new character. So then you would think if Joker's good and Batman's painted to be evil, but we all know Batman's not evil, who's the antagonist of the story? Which they added one. It's Neo Joker, which is a lame name, but I appreciate it. They didn't want to do anything too dramatic. They wanted to keep it simple, something that's not really important. So the old Harley, or the new Harley, scorned. She just wants the Joker back. They do a quick backstory, which I thought it was the best like backstory ever. Not in terms of like story, but it was like they dropped it and that was it. It was like one page backstory and you didn't need anything else.
And it adds to how crazy the Joker is, you know, like that he one didn't notice really that he was just looking for a replacement for the original Harley, actual Harleen Quinzel. And he just finds this blonde girl that kind of looks similar. He's like, hey, Harley, you know, you're coming with
me. She's messed up in her own right. And so she even says, I know it's Stockholm Syndrome, but I don't care. And it's like, it's great. Yeah. It's great. And like I said, why don't they do that more often? It was a one-page backstory, and it worked, and it fit perfectly. It wasn't rushed. Nothing felt rushed in this book.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it makes her... What I like about it is that it seems like it kind of goes along with what Joker says in what's the Killing Joke. In the Killing Joke, he says, we're all one bad day away. And, you know, she just kind of falls into that. And now once Joker decides to give up the life of crime or whatever, or I guess the life as the Joker, she's like, well, this is my shitty day. I guess I got to take the mantle. You know, I got to get it back.
So she becomes the new Joker, quote unquote, which I think is great. She plays it really well. It's not like, all of a sudden, she's this great mastermind. She even makes reference like, hey, I've always been a sidekick. I have no idea what I'm doing. So she makes Mad Hatter do a lot of the work, really. But she's the star of the show, which I thought was great.
Very cool.
And then you slowly, throughout the whole thing, you see Jack Napier, his plan work. It's working the entire time. The city's on his side. The people have rallied behind him. Even Jim Gordon is like, fuck it, we got to bring Batman in. It's just Batman's.
Yeah.
Because while Joker's plan's working, Batman's dealing with Alfred dying. He's dealing with realizing that Joker's plan's working. And he's also dealing with just being Batman in general. He's probably stressed out all the time. So you see Batman become unhinged while it seems like Joker's becoming more hinged. You know what I'm saying? So I thought it was good.
And they also. So, like, there's the special unit that Joker sets up, well, Jack Napier sets up within the Gotham Police Department GTO. Called the GTO. They use some of the funds from this, like, Batman Restoration Batman
Relief Fund. But it's like a relief. Katrina fund. It was like a disaster fund, pretty much.
Right, yeah. So every time he blows up a building, there's, like, this fund that comes from Wayne Enterprises that basically fixes
but the way they make it seem is that it's just all the rich people are using it to kind of keep their foot on the man. So even one guy at a party is like, hey, yeah, this is Batman is doing great work. He's like, he destroys these towns, the price goes down, we buy them up, fix them up, sell them, and we use the money from the relief fund. And even Bruce Wayne's like, you're doing what? So more proof that he's cool. One thing that I want to mention is the designs of his cars. That's one thing that Murphy does really well is his cars. He puts a lot of detail into his cars, not to mention the Batmobiles. I love the amount of Batmobiles that were in this book. First of all, the first one we see, besides his, I like Murphy's Batmobile that Batman has.
Very interesting.
But the first one we see that we know is the Batman, you know, the Tim Burton Batman one. And Jim Gordon's driving it. I'm just like, okay, that's a cool moment. But then later on, later on in the book, you see the Nolan one. You see the Adam West Batmobile. And I just think it's cool that they threw all those in there. You see the
That's what I was about to say. Animated series. And then the original comic book one where it's like the old, like, Rolls Royce with the Batfin. Yeah, those moments I was like,
exactly. This book could suck. And they just add moments like that. And you're just like, oh, okay, I'm back in. Even though it's not the case.
Well, right. Yeah, those nostalgic moments are great. One thing that I was going to say about that GTO, which I think is interesting, is they use that Bat Relief Fund. Once they take it back, they use that to create other Batmobiles for all of their, so like Harvey Bullock, Nightwing, and Batgirl go into the GTO. They sign on to that.
Duke joins.
Duke. What's the Montoya? So they all have like separate muscle cars with all.
It was like a Power Ranger moment. I got the very Power Ranger vibe when they're chasing whoever and the first time they get together and it shows them all like talking to each other. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, this is a Power Ranger montage.
Duke has a fucking monster truck. You know, yeah, it's very, it's funny. But, and then later, as you said, like, they're like, well, how about some real Batmobiles? And then they all get to, you know. Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
one thing that you mentioned earlier, very beginning of this episode, Nightwing's look in this, to me, first of all, his look before the GTO was great because he had a pretty traditional Nightwing suit, except he wore a jacket. And it was like, it had the Nightwing symbol on the outside. Looks good.
Sucking for those leather jackets, man.
But then his GTO suit was so sweet, man. And he had like the hat on, he had the vest. It looked great.
Yeah, it's super
very simple.
It's simple. I love that it's a uniform, but
and it makes you wonder, like, how come they never done this before? They struck a deal. It's like, hey, they work with us. They don't have to reveal their secret identities, but it's like they wear body cams, and so they have to do things the right way. And it's just like, oh, that does work, kind of.
Well, and it makes you really start to look at the weakness of Batman himself. Like, he's not a team player. No. He never will be a team player. You know,
because he wouldn't even listen to them. They were like, hey, man, we want to talk to you. Spoiler alert again, Alfred dies saving Batman's life. So everyone's worried that he's just complete, because it makes sense. Alfred was his like anchor pretty much. So Alfred is gone. And so they're worried like, hey, this is it. You know, everybody's always worried about him killing the Joker. So they're like, this is it. This is what he's going to do. He's going to kill the Joker and he's not going to come back from it. Because, I mean, once you do it once, like, oh, that makes sense. There's no more Joker. Then I'm going to go kill Two-Face. Well, I'm going to go kill all these other people and the problem will be solved. You know, I'll be the bad guy to save Gotham, whatever. But it shows like he doesn't even listen to them. Like they're quote unquote his bat family, but he's just like, nope, you guys are wrong. I'm right. I'm out of here. And it's just like, he finally does at the end, but that's after they lock him up for a while and he has to sit there by himself. So.
I don't know. It is interesting. One thing that I think is funny that I started to realize that I've never thought about before, right? Batman is just a dude, right? We all know he's just a dude. He's supposed to be and they play him in different versions of Batman in different comic books, like the detective. He's like a detective, and then he's like a regular superhero.
Sometimes he's punching aliens with Superman in outer space, which.
I think it's funny to see the disparity in his rogues gallery in this comic book. So you have people like the Mad Hatter. He's just a dude with these mind control cards. And then, Harley Quinn, just a chick. Joker, basically just a dude. And then, like, Killer Croc, who's like a fucking
alligator. He's like an Incredible Hulk alligator, minus the growing strength. But they take down him and Bane, was it?
Yeah, Bane.
They take down a building. And they drop it on him.
Clayface is the same. I mean, even Mr. Freeze, you know, they're like super villains. They're not just guys.
I like the way they did Mr. Freeze too, about how he like fixed the aging thing and then instantly turned into an old ass man.
Yeah.
That was cool. Sorry, sidebar.
Yeah. Very cool. Same thing with Nora. Yeah.
And those
I just think it's funny to see that. Like you said, it's a very Power Ranger moment when they're bringing the you know, they're riding through these tunnels beneath the city, and the Batmobiles, and then, like, the Batmobile just gets picked up by Bane, you know? And then you realize the Batman's just a dude in a car.
What about the Nazi thing? Like, that kind of, I was speed reading at this point, but towards the end of the issue, this one thing seemed fairly rushed to me, but from my understanding, they dive deeper into that one-shot Joker story, or Mr. Freeze story. But later on in the books, you know, they're finding information about Batman. Neo Joker has a side story within her own side story where she's trying to find information on how to bring Joker back or whatever. She stumbles upon information that Thomas Wayne was a Nazi.
No, so that was kind of confusing. I was wondering if they were going to go down the same route as, what was that other, is that a TV show where the Waynes were bad.
It happens in the books, but it's like it was like a misunderstanding that they were bad. Or it was in the game, the Telltale game. They were supposedly part of the Court of Owls type thing, the bad guys.
So this, the Waynes help bring Elder Freeze over as part of, like, before Operation Paperclip, which is like a real thing. That was like a real thing that happened. They bring him over to help with the healing process. He just happened to be a Nazi, and that's what Operation Paperclip was, like Albert Einstein, Oppenheimer, people like that. They brought him over and just kind of absolved them of any war crimes that they might have committed.
But because Mr. Freeze ends up being like a pretty okay dude, man.
Yeah, and even his dad, you know, the end of the story, this giant freeze gun, like, he built that, but it was because the military wanted him to build that. Yeah. Whereas Thomas Wayne was worried about the regenerative capabilities of his research, which is what brought Batman back and what killed Alfred, right? Like, Alfred basically gave up.
Yeah, because they were trying to bring Alfred back or cure Alfred or whatever was going on with him. But then Alfred saw Batman dying, and then he was like, well, I'm Alfred, so.
He said, take two of these and call me in the morning.
Oh my god! This book, I would love to see as an animated movie. I mean, I think it would kill it with the right animation style if they keep it very close to the story, or as close as possible.
Yeah, I would hope that they would actually switch from what they've been doing. I would like to see a different animator on.
They did switch the switched the animation on Batman or Superman: Man of Tomorrow. I don't know if you saw that yet.
I haven't seen it.
It's got a lighter. We'll have to watch it, but if you can't tell, we liked it. We liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was great. If I had to give it a toast, I'd give it a. Hold on. I had it up and I lost it.
Art was good. Story was good. What? Any cons? While we look for our list, do you have any cons of this? For me, I'd have to really nitpick to find one.
Yeah, the only cons I really have are kind of the weird. Like you said, the kind of rushed Nazi story, like
even, World War II story. Even as you explained it, it was still kind of like, why? And I think it was to tie in the Mr. Freeze book, because apparently it was a pretty good book, but like, it's one of those things that we always talk about. Don't write with the intention of selling something else, or don't make something with the intention of you're going to sell something else.
The one thing I can say to play devil's advocate, because I agree, and that's why I didn't like it, because it seemed like it's leading into something else. I will say that it wasn't big enough that it was, you know, if another one didn't happen, it wasn't going to kill the whole story.
I think they did that intentionally, and I guess they did it well enough.
And I guess the only other nitpick I have is that this giant freeze ray is so easily reversible.
Oh, yeah.
So they, like, freeze half a Gotham City.
It was just...
And they're like, oh, don't worry. It's just like, oh, they're
It
fine.
Was ripped straight out of... that. My whole thing is, even when they first showed it, it was ripped straight out of Batman and Robin. Or Batman and...
yeah.
Batman and Robin?
Batman and Robin.
It was ripped straight out of Batman and Robin. Mr. Freeze has this giant laser, and at the end of the movie, they just reverse it, and then Gotham melts again. So it's just like...
Yeah.
I appreciate that, because I do... I like those movies. Like, I know a lot of people don't.
Yeah, they have their
I like those movies. And so I was like, oh, okay, this is if we have the original Batmobile, if we have all these Batmobiles, then it's okay to have other nods to other things and kind of make it bring something silly into a relatively serious story.
Yeah. Those are my only complaints. And they're not terrible. It's just kind of odd.
I don't like what they did with Jason Todd. But that is and I'm going to do what they did. I'm going to say this is a nitpick for another episode, because it has to do with the second book.
Okay. See, they've only mentioned Jason Todd from what I remember. I don't remember seeing anything really about it. So
when you see it in the second series, which is the sequel book, you're going to be like, I did like that a lot though. Okay. So it's only because of how he or whatever his relationship in the sequel book is, but in this one I like that they did that. I like that in the original death in the family, Joker has Robin and the same style. He wants to know who Batman is. That's a just absolute gut-wrenching moment where he's like, Right, what are your last words? And he's, I wish I never met Bruce Wayne. It's just that moment will always be one of the ones that, you know, hits me. It always will. Just, it's one of those things that you feel how sad it is. Like, this kid knows he's about to die and he knows it's Bruce Wayne's fault. Well, in the death of family, he dies. Spoiler alert, if you hadn't read that from the, from the 80s. So he dies. But in this one, you find out he lets him go. Because it's more of a mind fuck for Batman later on. To think that Jason Todd just would rather be dead, would rather not live with a millionaire, billionaire, trillionaire, would rather just wherever he is, rather than him know that he's alive. He would rather be dead, you know. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
Everything that he switched to, I forgot about that.
His death would have been way more brutal, because in Death in the Family, it was just, he just beat him with a crowbar, which I guess is pretty brutal. Yeah, but this, he was just kind of straight up slit his throat with a straight razor, which is,
they showed that straight razor a lot, so I was wondering, I was like, man, they're really playing this. I thought he's dead. I mean, that makes sense. But then it got me wondering, whenever he asked the last time, like, hey, where is Robin? In like the last issue, I was like, okay, so I was just hoping they weren't going to do anything weird, like, oh, hey, I'm Robin or something weird. I was really hoping they weren't going to do that, man. And they, they didn't do it. Thank God. Whew. There's like a lot of relief moments reading this book, because you know comic books, man. They can take a weird direction and it's just like, they ruin the whole thing. But a lot of sighs of relief reading this book.
Yeah. So if I had to give it a toast rating, which if you don't, unless you want to bring something else up about it. If I had to give it a toast rating, I kind of want my toast a little toastier today. I'm going to give it a F.
Ooh. Five. Nice. That's very funny, because I'm going to do E5. To me, that's a, if I had to equate it to a score, which I'm not going to do often, but I would say it's like a 9.5. Just because I enjoyed this book so much that I think I could actually grade it on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yes. One thing I've talked about before is I really appreciate anything that seems very self-contained, because I don't want to read 50 years of backstory to understand what the hell's going on. Even 20, you know?
And even it ended. It wasn't open-ended. It was just like, hey, man, I'm not Batman anymore, because Joker was right. And you were right. I'm actually pretty terrible. I've gotten to where I've actually liked beating up people, and it's passing my need to protect the city.
Yeah.
And that could just be the end of it. They do have a sequel book, and the sequel book, as much as I've read, doesn't, you know, a lot of times sequels rely on the gravity of the first one to kind of carry it. This one doesn't. It's its own story. Has a little ties to the first one, but more backstory stuff. So it's good.
I look forward to reading it all the way. I got a couple pages in, and hopefully this fucking app will let me read the damn thing.
Premium comic book app.
Premium infinite bullshit.
So we got, I think we're circling the drain. I'm going to save the last part of this conversation for a few minutes after for the YouTube video. But we're circling the drain. Simon, it's nice talking to you.
Yeah, as always.
Be on the lookout for more reviews. We're going to be doing a few more, and go to the YouTube channel to see what we're going to talk about next. And we'll see you guys next
time. Go to YouTube for a YouTube vision.
Later, guys.